Today it's Bernanke and Bush.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. All eyes and ears will be on the Fed chairman and the president today. Ben Bernanke gives a speech about the housing market. He could tip his hand about what the Fed might do with interest rates next month. And President Bush will announce an aid package for borrowers caught up in the housing slump. Overseas investors seem hopeful. The Asian markets climbed more than 2% today, and European shares are higher so far. It was a mixed day on Wall Street. The Dow fell 50 points to 13,238. The NASDAQ was up a couple points to 2565. The S&P 500 dropped 6 to 1457. If you're flying this holiday weekend, all I can say is good luck. Here's Steve Tripoli.
FAA head Marion Blakey has this advice for holiday weekend flyers. Brace up and bring a good book.
It's almost as if they want us to be conditioned to that it's okay.
But it's not okay, says Kate Hanai of the Coalition for an Airline Passenger's Bill of Rights. Hanai says the FAA needs to modernize air traffic control, which is pushing Congress to do. For now, she says airlines need to put fewer planes in the air, and airports need to retrieve passengers with connections from flights stranded without a gate. Hanai's group is setting up a mock airliner on the Capitol Mall September 19th to give lawmakers a taste of delays.
It'll be hot and sticky, and it'll have little overflowing porta-potties, and we'll have flight attendants and pilots giving you almost no information.
The FAA's Marion Blakey says if Congress doesn't quit stalling on new funding methods for the agency, every weekend will feel like Labor Day. I'm Steve Tripoli for Marketplace.
One aspect of NAFTA is that all roads in North America are supposed to be open to truckers from the U.S., Mexico, and Canada. But right now, Mexican truckers are only allowed a certain distance into the U.S. The Bush administration wants to let them go anywhere they want, starting next week. But several groups, including the Teamsters Union and the Sierra Club, have filed a lawsuit to stop that from happening. Joining us now is Michelle Mittelstadt. She's a reporter at the Houston Chronicle. Michelle, what's the opposition here?
Well, the arguments against is that the fleet of Mexican trucks is historically older and less safe than U.S. trucks, that Mexican truckers are not subjected to the same regulations, the same alcohol and drug testing, and that their trucks also don't have the same environmental standards, and therefore bringing Mexican trucks would pose safety concerns for Americans on the roads.
Now, how do Mexican companies feel about this? Are they excited about the opportunity or no?
You know, interestingly, we talked to some truckers in Mexico, and they were saying that this really is more sort of a dispute and a haggling that's taking place at the political level in Washington and Mexico City. For the most part, most Mexican truckers don't actually want to gain access to the U.S. market because insurance rates would be so much higher, because there's so much congestion at the border. There really isn't a huge public appetite, certainly among truckers in Mexico, to gain access to this U.S. market right now.
Is there the opportunity for trade here, or is there not that market?
85% of all the trade that occurs between the United States and Mexico is taking place on trucks. The difficulty right now is that Mexican trucks right now can only drive into what's considered a 20 to 25 mile buffer zone in the United States. So they bring their trucks into places like Laredo, Texas, offload their cargo, and then a U.S. carrier will pick up that cargo and truck it to Chicago or San Francisco or wherever else. Both the Bush administration as well as many U.S. companies and Mexicans say this is a very onerous and cumbersome process, and it would be easier and cheaper if both countries could just have unfettered access to carriers from both countries.
All right, Michelle Mittelstadt from the Houston Chronicle. Thanks for joining us.
Great to join you, Scott.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, sponsoring The Mysterious Human Heart, a PBS series exploring diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of heart disease through science and technology, premiering on PBS in October.
The day Princess Diana died was one of those days you remember where you were. I was in a phone booth when I found out. I can't believe it's been 10 years now. Today in London, there's a memorial service with plenty of royalty and celebrities attending. There's one small shopkeeper in London who won't be there. He wasn't invited. But he'll be paying his own tribute to the princess who helped keep his business afloat. Stephen Beard has more.
2 eggs and chips, please. 1 latte, 2 cappuccino, please.
Naming a pokey little cafe after the world's most iconic princess may seem a trifle ambitious, but Abdul Basit Daoud did just that. 18 years ago, then a recent immigrant from Iraq, he called his tiny new coffee shop Cafe Diana. He'd spotted the princess driving to her nearby home, Kensington Palace.
The day I saw her, she gave me the inspiration, and then I decided to call it Cafe Diana, because if I call it Abdul Cafe, maybe it doesn't sound good.
You won't get quite so many customers.
Yeah.
Very soon, says Abdul, Diana became one of his customers, popping into the modest little shop once a month with her bodyguard for coffee and croissants. Within a year of opening, however, a deep recession struck, and Abdul contemplated closing down.
Sometimes I want to pack up the shop and go. I always remember that she came and visited me and she gave me the support. So she was almost giving me the push to go forward and to stay and to be patient.
Her patronage helped, he says. Customers turned up in the hope of bumping into the princess. Abdul plastered the walls with photos of Diana. Cheekily, he put Diana dishes on the menu, with the waiter claiming that this lentil soup or that salad sandwich was Diana's favourite. He says the princess never objected. After her death 10 years ago, his coffee shop became a kind of unofficial shrine.
People start to come and visit the place, curious about it, out of respect for her. They come from all around the world. She's been very good in her life to us and in her death as well.
2 English breakfast, number 1, number 2, please.
Abdul rejects any suggestion that he's tastelessly exploited Diana's name. She was a customer, he says. She endorsed the cafe and she always tried to help the little man. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and enjoy your weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.